What's up, Grizz Nation? Welcome to the show. This is the Sports Ethos Grizzlies podcast. We got the whole crew tonight: Candace, David, Isaac. Post game, we're going to talk about two games. We're talking about Friday night's game against the Heat, and then the loss tonight against the Orlando Magic. Final score of tonight's game: 109-105. Orlando Magic win. Final score of Friday night's game was 111-108. And Candace was kind of making a point before we went live here about these two games were pretty similar. The Grizzlies were down the majority of the game for both of these and then made a push at the end to try and win the game. They were not able to do it either time. And my biggest concern right now, Isaac, I think you said defense was yours, and that's obviously a concern, missing a guy like Jaren Jackson Jr. But for the offseason focus to be shooting,
yep,
well, it doesn't seem like that. Desmond Bain shot the ball well tonight.
He's been struggling,
but he shot the ball well, and Conchar shot the ball well, and everybody else was terrible from three. Seems like the same old song and dance that we saw all season last season. You have Desmond Bane that can knock down the threes, and then everybody else can't spell shooting out there. So I know that you're going to say defense is your biggest concern, but do you not have any concern at all with the shooting? Do you feel like this is something that remedies itself? And if your answer to that question is yes, please tell me what you're seeing that I'm not.
Well, I mean, they're both concerns. There's no doubt about that. But I think the thing about it is that we've seen this team still be able to win games and not be a great three-point shooting team. I mean, we've seen that. And so I think defense especially, I mean, you don't have Jaren Jackson Jr. That's the anchor of your defense. He's the guy that everything kind of runs through on the end of the floor. But as I've said all offseason, and a lot of people disagree with me, the loss of Kyle Anderson and De'Anthony Melton is going to be felt on this team, especially on the defensive end. I think throughout the season, not having those two guys outside of Dylan Brooks, those are your best two perimeter defenders, and you don't have anybody now that's proven on that end. Like, when I talk about this, you have people well, LaRavia is going to do this, Roddy's going to do this, it's not going to be a problem, Zaire is going to step up and take that next step, and maybe that happens, but we don't know that. We know Conchar is not Melton defensively. It's just not going to happen. He's not going to be Melton on a defensive end, and I think to expect that would be a fool's errand. It's not going to happen. So, I mean, to me, I just think we've seen this team win games, again, with struggling to make shots at times. I think the defensive end is kind of one of the things that this team hung their hat on. And right now, especially without Jaren, and then those two losses, I think that's going to even heighten those two losses. I think it's going to be a struggle, especially early in the season. I'm concerned about the defense. I don't know how they get stops, because you just see tonight, I think the length of Orlando bothered them a lot in this game. With those three guys, they started at the 3, 4, 5. But especially Orlando's not a good team. And they were able to notice preseason, and a lot of times veteran guys, their focus is not there. But they weren't able to get stops for most of the night outside of that late in the game where they kind of just tried to lock down. Even still, Rock Wagner was able to hit that big three there. That's kind of what sealed the game. But I think defensively, man, that's my biggest concern. It's not just shooting, it's not a concern. I just think, If you're gonna tell me to pick one or the other, I think defense is probably my biggest concern right now.
I think I'm more along the lines with David in the sense of, you know, I agree with you, Isaac, because defense is a concern. But I guess for me, I always knew that was going to be the case, given Jaren Jackson's absence, given the loss of Kyle Anderson, De'Anthony Melton. I did figure that there was going to be a drop off defensively, but all of the moves that they made were to increase 3-point shooting. For example, the inconsistency of De'Anthony Melton and his inability to really show up in the playoffs. They decided to move on from that. Kyle Anderson and his shooting, they decided to move on from that. And they replaced them with rookies who they felt like would be able to shoot at a high clip and just basically do nothing else. But if they didn't do anything else, but the Grizzlies felt like they could do more. But if they didn't do anything else, they could be able to come in and make shots around Ja. They gave Conchar more minutes. They gave him an extension because they thought he would be able to provide more shooting. And I just haven't seen it. So given the gravity of the emphasis on the offseason right now, they're at the same place and or worse off than they were. And it's still the preseason. So, you know, that could change. They get their legs under them, et cetera, et cetera. But right now, based off of what we've seen, and it has been a pattern, that's my biggest concern, because that was supposed to be the point of the offseason. They accepted the drop off defensively to increase offense, and that's not what we're seeing on the court.
I don't disagree with that at all. Like, I mean, you guys know my thoughts on kind of how the guys they drafted, not that these guys can't be good. It's just, I'm still feel like that they should have went out and added a veteran piece or two. Guys that are proven in the NBA that could either play perimeter defense or knock down shots of both 3-and-D guys. I feel like they're missing a guy too, because I still feel like they're going to have to depend on these rookies at some point to come in and be productive in those two different areas. And right now, even in preseason and summer league, as far as consistently, they haven't shown that they can do that. And a lot of people are just, for some reason, assuming that. Like, I had somebody tell me what's yesterday that David Roddy is already better than half the team. Like, it was defensively, like, they were great defensively in college. And I'm like, they were okay defensively, but neither one of those guys are expected to be defensive juggernauts. Like, and people are thinking they're just going to fill in seamlessly and come in and be these great players. And I think people saw what happened with Desmond Bane. And I think a lot of people feel like every time the Grizzlies draft somebody, they're gonna have a Desmond Bane like impact year one. And that's just not going to be the case. I keep trying to tell people that, keep warning them, but they're thinking that these guys are just going to fill in and play defense day one. And that's just what worries me. And again, they're not making shots either. And that was, according to Zach Kleiman, that was their emphasis. And those guys haven't shown the ability to do that.
You know, there's plenty of time between now and the postseason. And if you go back to the beginning of last year, the first 20 games of the season, this team was awful. And, you know, like their defense was terrible. There was a lot of stuff that had to be figured out. And then something somewhere just clicked. And, you know, I know that Taylor Jenkins got sick of kind of the media asking the questions. Hey, you know, what about this, or what's going on here? Are you concerned about that? And we just kept getting the same kind of coach speak, is, you know, just give it time, just give it time. We got to the 20 games, the 20 game mark of the season, and everybody's like, you know, okay, we're a fourth of the way into the season here. How much time do you want us to afford you here? And it turned around, you know, that they ended up tying the regular season record for most wins in a season. I don't know that I'm convinced that this team this season can do that. You know, I projected that they were going to win 50 games this year, and that was the highest out of the three of us. But even to get to that, there's a massive step that has to happen. And I don't know where it comes from. Unfortunately, with it being on NBA TV, we were having to listen to the Orlando Magic announcers, or I had to. I don't know if you all locally had to or not.
Yeah.
But I had to listen to the Orlando Magic announcers, and they were talking about, you know, who else is it going to be? Who's going to be the guy? You expect growth from Ja Morant. You expect some more growth from Desmond Bane. Who is going to be that third player that goes to the next level for them in order for them to take the next step? They mentioned Jaren Jackson Jr., but we don't know for sure when he's going to be back. So we were expecting the defense to be bad, but based off of the moves that we made, we were expecting the shooting to be better. That has not been the case. Free throws were a big issue in the Heat game. It was driving me nuts up there. I was ready to just leave the forum and not even go to the post game, but it's preseason. So I'm not going to get too high or too low on it, but definitely some things that are concerning whenever it comes to this team early on in the season.
I was just going to say, I think that for me, my biggest concern was the Jerry injury. But outside of that, the lack of guard depth was a issue for me. So like Isaac was talking about, in terms of going out to get somebody right now, that's still a clear place of need. You know, John Conchar is playing extended minutes, and I still haven't seen the ability for him to be able to do anything more with those minutes than he did when he was playing, you know, maybe 11th guy or something like that, like, you know, ninth guy, if it was a good night for him. You know, tonight he took, somebody got the box score for tonight. I'm looking at the monitor.
He was 2 for 5 tonight.
He took 5 shots. Yeah. So, and then a lot of those were in the fourth quarter, and he did help out, you know, in the fourth.
Yeah, but hit that big corner three to top.
He had a great fourth quarter. He really did after struggling through the first three quarters. But that's my thing, in that John Conchar has always been a good player who can provide that juice for you, and sometimes he can provide that juice and close out games. But does he need, you know, 18, 20-plus minutes in order to do that? I don't think so. I think that that needs to go somewhere else, so that Bane and Moran don't have to carry that offensive load the way that I think they are right now.
Yeah, and I hate to be just – seems like we're being negative right now. I know it's preseason, and I know it's still hope springs eternal. But another thing that I think people are not giving credit for is that even when Jaren comes back, what is he going to look like? I mean, he's missed the entire offseason. I mean, he had this – Taylor Jenkins said he gave him this book of vitamins, as he calls them, things that he needs to work on to improve his game, and he hasn't been able to do those things. And it's going to take some time. I mean, coming back from a big man, you talk about coming back from a foot injury, you got 7 foot tall. I don't think he's just going to come back out there immediately and look like Jaren. So, I mean, that's going to take some time. And you know, the Grizzlies kind of do this ramp up stuff, and we don't know what his minutes are going to be like. He might be playing, but playing limited minutes. So that's going to take some time as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of questions going into this season. And again, those have been kind of my concerns. A lot of people are a lot more optimistic than I am. I predicted 47 wins. I don't think it's going to take this team from second seed in the West to a play-in team or anything like that. I still think this team finishes somewhere in the top five, whether that's 4 or 5. That's kind of where I have them. I just think there are a lot of questions going into the season. And for me, I don't get the offseason. I just feel like a team that finished where they finished, you shouldn't be coming into this season with this many questions. I know Jaren being out, that makes even more questions. But I think even if Jaren was playing, I still think there would be some questions with this team as far as Candace said, the guard depth and the defense having those guys on the perimeter that can guard and guys that can make shots. Like you said, I mean, Zach Kleiman said they were going out to get these guys that can make shots. And, I mean, LaRavia's numbers were decent in college at Wake Forest. But, again, he was a guy that they had to implore to shoot the ball. And David Roddy's numbers look great, but I don't feel like he's a guy that's going to be a knockdown shooter. Like he's a guy that's going to say, this guy's a 3-point shooter. Maybe he develops into that, even though his numbers look fantastic. I think he shot like 44% from three at Colorado State on pretty decent volume. But I just don't think he projects as a guy that's just going to be lined up just bumming from three. I mean, he's a guy that'll be capable of hitting threes. I think he'll be a guy kind of maybe in a Dylan Brooks vein that can knock down threes, but if he's hot. But there are going to be other times where he's going to be taking shots, he's not going to make them. So, there are questions for sure. I think on the offensive side and the defensive side of the ball. I mean, you just think you got Ja Morant, man. You just gotta have to look at that and see what happens. But I think it's gonna be a bit of a struggle, especially until Jaren gets back and gets integrated back into the thing.
Yeah, I mean, they're just gonna out talent some teams, right? They're just gonna be flat out better than some teams, but they're. You know, on the other hand, there's going to be teams where that's not going to be the case. And so it's going to be more work. You know, you talk about us kind of being negative. Like, one of the biggest positives so far from the preseason, I would have to say, is Santi Aldama.
Yep.
You know, that's
I was thinking that.
You know, we can talk about, like, the shortcomings of this team, and there's a lot to speak on there. But the question about who was going to start at the four was very cloudy heading into, you know, the summer league and then preseason. You know, a lot of fans, maybe the Grizzlies had an idea of what they were going to do, but even us as media members, we were not 100% sure. I was confident that Brandon Clark was not going to be the starter heading into it, even though a lot of people were kind of pushing for that. The areas where him and Steven Adams cross paths a lot, I think become an issue. And in short spurts, you can play them on the floor together. But overall, I think you're going to see Steven Adams coming off the floor as Brandon Clark is coming on the floor, just because you don't need those two guys on the floor at the same time. And so it left big questions. Were you going to see, you know, Aldama, who had limited minutes and who had looked rough? You know, we were not really sure what he was going to be able to do. Was it going to be Jake LaRavia, brand new rookie coming out? You know, is he going to be able to do enough defensively to be out there on the floor, or is it going to be David Roddy? And then, you know, at media day, Taylor Jenkins mentioned Xavier Tillman. And if you're starting Xavier Tillman, you're kind of in the same boat that you were in with Kyle Anderson, only worse. You know, like Tillman is not going to be a 3-point shooter. He is proven that. We see that he's not going to be able to effectively knock down the three. He is a decent defender, but you know, if we're comparing apples to apples here, Kyle Anderson wins that matchup in a landslide. And so a huge hole with Jaren being out was, I think, amplified because of the lack of a replacement on this roster.
Yeah. I think it also kind of throws off the situation because Jaren was usually closed at the five. And you didn't have Steven Adams on the floor a lot in those late game situations. So now that's a question. How are you going to handle that situation? Because Adams sometimes didn't even play a whole lot in the second half. They played Jaren most of the time with those lineups, and that you're not going to be able to do that either. So that's going to be something that they have to handle. I just think, and when you talk about this second unit, if you kind of look at these preseason games and kind of the especially those last two, it's been Tyus Jones, John Conchar, Zaire Williams, I guess, either LaRavia or Roddy. I think they're pushing for it to be LaRavia because he's the guy they took early as they moved up to get him. So I think they would like for it to be him along with BC. With you not having kind of that veteran, those veteran presence, guys like De'Anthony Melton and Kyle Anderson, I don't know if I would kind of do a five in, five out type. I don't know if I would want all five of those guys on the floor at the same time. I think I would try to stagger that a little bit. If I'm taking tickets throughout the game, maybe play LaRavia with Steven Adams sometimes, play BC with Aldama sometimes. I don't know if I would want all five of those guys on the floor at one time because, I mean, that's, again, you just don't have that veteran presence. I mean, that's a lot of, outside of Tyus Jones, I guess you say BC with that group, I just think that they should stagger that a little bit so you don't have all those five guys on the floor at one time so you don't lose as much. I was just kind of looking at that. I'm not completely sold on that five-man unit. It's just, again, man, I just kind of go back to what I was saying all offseason. I just really feel like they need one or two more veteran guys off that bench. I just think they're going to be dependent on guys that they just haven't seen do these things too much for a team that has designs on playing at the level that they at an elite level. You just depend. There's too many questions with, especially with your bench. I know people say, oh, well, in the playoffs, that's not going to matter, but regular season matters. And there's going to be times you hope not, but you expect there's going to be times where guys go down. You expect Ja with the way he plays with reckless abandon and his size. And sometimes he's probably going to miss games at times. And last year, because of that depth, this team was able to go out and continue to win basketball games. I'm not as confident now with the way the roster shapes up now that if guys go down, some of your main guys, that you have those pieces, they can just come in seamlessly and continue to win ball games.
Would you agree or disagree if I was to say it's safe to say that they're not going to go out and get any vets?
Oh, I think they're done. I agree with you. I don't think, barring something crazy, I think this is the roster that they're going to go into season with. I'm not saying that they can't be moved during the year. We talked on the last podcast about Dylan Brooks, and maybe they decide that's something that they, by the time the deadline comes around, that they want to pursue moving him if they're not going to pay him. And maybe you add, I'm drawing a blank here.
Danny Green.
Danny Green, yeah. add Danny Green to that mix. If he looks like he's a guy that's not going to be able to come back for you, that might be a package that you can move at the deadline and maybe get some of the big expiring and Dylan Brooks and Danny Green, another expiring that you can move to a team and get something that way. But as far as right now, I don't expect them to do anything else. I think this is kind of the roster that they're going with because I think they're in on these rookies for better or worse. I mean, we kind of felt questions about Zaire going to the season, and we saw that they had their own plan, man. They were going to stick with him, and I think it ended up paying off in the end. But right now, I think there are definitely some questions there. But I think this front office, I think with their plan, they plan to kind of go young, man. I don't think this is by mistake or anything. I think by design, they moved on from those two veterans, and they're going to ride with these rookies for better or worse.
My biggest question that I have right now, and maybe they don't play anybody all in this next game. I thought it was going to be the opposite, that they rest everybody this game and play them all in the next game. But I'm just wondering, do these starters have gotten a lot more minutes than anybody thought they would get? Especially given that they drafted 5 rookies, and in the regular season, there's not going to be a lot of time to see those guys. So it was pretty obvious to me that this would be the opportunity, similar to summer league, to really get those guys some real run. But my initial thought is wondering if they're playing a lot of these guys out of concern for, I don't know, just making sure that they're coming in hot. But Ja Morant played 32 minutes today. Bane played 30 minutes today. Dylan Brooks played 32 minutes today. And John Contra played 25. And it's preseason. So I that's abnormal, especially in a preseason game. I mean, it's not too often that Jenkins likes to really go over 30 minutes for anybody except for Ja, for that matter, let alone in a preseason game. I just wonder if he's not saying things, even in his comments, his interviews, he's implied that they'll sort of give the other guys a run for some time now. We just haven't seen that. And my instinct is that he's seeing some concerns there, that he feels like these guys need to get a run or get their legs under them more or get some time together or something. But I think if everything was as optimistic as we hoped in terms of outcome, I don't think we'd be seeing these guys play this much, if at all.
Yeah, I think you must read my mind, because I was thinking that same exact thing tonight. I tweeted out, I was like, I'm surprised that they're starting the guys again, because I was even surprised that they started them last game. I knowing Jenkins and how they usually handle these things, they just usually, you would think maybe the starters playing 2 out of the 5 games. And I didn't think they would do it back to back. I thought they'd play in their first home preseason game and then maybe one of these games on the road, and that would be it. I agree with Candace. I think there must be some concern here. I think them not having those veteran guys on the bench and a lot of young guys, I think they want to make sure that these starters are at their max, because they know they're going to need them even more so than maybe they needed them in the past. I definitely think there's some concern there between, because Taylor Jenkins is going to be 30 plus minutes for these guys, and you're talking about preseason. I mean, that's just not how they usually handle things. So I think there has to be some concern there. So I agree with Kansas. I definitely think that's probably what's going on here.
Is it that, or is this, he knew that this was going to be their last preseason game? So he just ran them out there. He played them extended minutes here because he knows on, Thursday night, whenever they play with the Bucks on Thursday?
Detroit.
Detroit, the Pistons. Detroit. You know, he knows on Thursday he's not going to play the starters. It's going to be the young guys out here playing. So he just let them get a full run, during tonight's game.
I don't know,
game.
Man. It's three games in a row, man.
Maybe.
Three games in a row.
Just real quick, just an opponent that they already played too.
When they were in the starting lineup tonight, I was shocked. Like I didn't expect them to play at all tonight. I thought this would be kind of like what we saw against Milwaukee in that first preseason game. I just noticed coaching staff and the way that they usually handle things. They're not going to play the starters in the preseason 3 games in a row. That's just not how Taylor Jenkins. They're very cautious and worried about guys getting injured. And Ja Morant, which is at 32 minutes tonight, Desmond Bane, 32 minutes, Dylan Brooks, 31 minutes. I'm trying to remember, I could be wrong, but I don't think we've ever seen these guys play like they played tonight in a preseason game. Last year, I don't remember the starters playing that much in games. I don't think they even played, they might have not even played the regular rotation guys in 3 games out of the 5 games last year, if I can remember. This is definitely different than what we're used to seeing from this coaching staff.
And they hinted that they would be in the offseason before media day, but I remember there being an emphasis about making sure they can serve their bodies this year, making sure they can make it through an 82-game season, that health was a point of emphasis. And so to me, it just seems like a shift from what was discussed before, where it sounded like, honestly, I was wondering if they even did a little load management during the season. But something seems to have changed from even the language that they were using before.
Because you even saw at the end of the game tonight, like he went back to the starters, and I was surprised. I mean, I know that you possibly had an opportunity to try to come back and win the game, but that's just not usually the top concern when it comes to preseason. And he put those guys back in, man, late in that game to try to make a comeback. And usually that's just not, especially the good teams. Like you might see the bad teams like Orlando and some other teams play their guys more, but the kind of elite teams, they don't usually do stuff like we saw tonight in the preseason. Once those starters go out, if you're down 10 points, 9 points with 5 minutes left in the preseason game, they're not going to bring those starters back in. This is not something that you usually see. So I was kind of surprised by that. I do think that there is some concern there that to make sure these guys are at their max going into the season, ready for next week, because I feel like they're not as confident in some of those guys coming off the bench.
Yep. But, I'm sorry, David, you have anything to add on that one?
No. You can go ahead. I was just waiting. You guys are going back and forth. I'm just sitting here chilling and enjoying the conversation, honestly. I mean, you guys were making a lot of the same points that I would have made in that conversation. You know, like I'm on the fence a little bit. Like I said, I mentioned the thing of, okay, this is going to be kind of like the last dress rehearsal, but maybe it's not. Maybe they play in Thursday night's game against Detroit. Maybe he is playing them. Bane had struggled offensively and hadn't really found his rhythm. He talked about in the Friday night in that postgame presser after the Heat game, he said physically he's in a better spot this year than what he was at the beginning of the season last year. He just needs to get his legs under him. Ja Morant in the practice that Candace went to, he mentioned that, getting his legs under him. And mm-hmm. So maybe this is part of that. Maybe it's not. Maybe it is some, they're not seeing what they want to see. So they're putting these guys out here for extended minutes. I don't know that Jitty's role is going to be 25 minutes a game. I just don't see when everybody is healthy, I don't see where he has 25 minutes available. Because, yeah. If you play Zaire Williams, Zaire's going to be in that, I would imagine, 25 to 28 minutes, maybe even north of that. And so that's going to limit some of these other guys, what they're going to get. And we saw Tyus Jones and Ja Morant play side by side together and play well like that. So, I know that Taylor Jenkins is a man of habit. Like, he likes the 10-man rotation. So that's probably what we're going to see. You saw an 11-man rotation tonight with the team, but in the regular season, it's going to be a 10-man rotation. It's going to be extremely interesting to see who that is while Jaren Jackson is out. And then how does that change when Jaren Jackson returns? Because when you look at the guys that are playing tonight, we have Zaire is not playing tonight. So you can go ahead and scratch one of these guys, whether it's Laravia or Roddy, scratch one of them out. And then when Jaren Jackson comes back, that moves Santi to the bench. And as well as he has been playing, I think that you have to play him. You have to. And there's nothing Laravia or Roddy, they have not done anything for me to, like, when Jaren comes back, I'm going to move Aldama straight to the bench and these guys are going to play over top of him. Because when it comes to shooting the ball, even though he was 0-for-3 from 3 tonight against the Magic, I would rather have Aldama out there than either one of those other two guys. I think that he has playmaking skills are probably pretty close between the three. You can give the edge one way or the other, whether you think it's Roddy or Laravia. But
he's bigger, he's taller, yeah, as well, longer.
And he's doing, like, there was one play specifically tonight where he came, helped side, he got the block, and he's been doing that. His defensive rotations have looked good. Mm-hmm. The defense is not there. There's a hole right now, but we know what that is. So we don't need, I've said this before, I don't want to be a broken record, but we don't need Aldama. The Grizzlies do not need Aldama to be Jaren Jackson Jr. Right. They need him to be a serviceable defender out there, protect the rim, make the guy, like, challenge people when they come to the rim. You don't have to block a ton of shots. You're almost 7 foot tall. You got a big wingspan. Go up, stay tall, make them alter their shot. If they make a tough shot, they make a tough shot. But more often than not, you're going to see them miss when you challenge it properly. So there's still a boatload of questions for this team in rotation. So, like, what do you guys think the odds are that we see rotation-type minutes for all of these guys heading into this next game on Thursday?
I mean, it's going to be interesting to what happens on Thursday. But again, I'm not going to make any predictions on it because, again, man, I would have sworn that they were going to kind of go back to that game one against Milwaukee kind of rotation with the young guys, Kenneth Lofton Jr. and all those guys playing tonight. And starters, not only did they play, they got close to record season minutes tonight. And that's something that I definitely didn't expect. So maybe we'll see. I think if you see the starters play again on Thursday, I think that really gives kind of credence to what me and Candace were discussing. But I got a feeling that they probably don't. The starters probably don't play on Thursday night. Usually in that last preseason game, if they do play in that game, I think it's pretty sure that there's something going on there. But I think to your point about Aldama, not to change subject here, but I've been impressed with him. He's not going to be Jared defense, but I don't think anybody expects that. But his help side defense has been pretty good. He's got a couple of those blocks in every game. Had one tonight, had one in the last game, or maybe two in a game against Miami. And that's something that we hadn't seen from him. Well, we hadn't really seen anything from him on the defensive end prior to this season. So there's definitely been growth there. You just need him to be adequate and just not be a sieve on that end. And that's probably the best that you could hope for. And hopefully he knocks down shots. Didn't knock him down tonight, but has been knocking him down going back to Vegas and here early in the preseason. So I don't think anything that we've seen from Aldama, you look at LaRavia and Roddy, Aldama between those three is the guy, no question about it. I mean, he brings more size, more length, more ability to knock down shots. I think he's been in the system. I think that extra year is showing. I just don't think LaRavia and Roddy are really ready to give you a lot right now. So I think Aldama's the guy. Even when Jaren comes back, I think Aldama, for me, is going to be that guy off the bench between those three guys.
100% agree. 100% agree. And that's a huge thing because that was the biggest question mark looming before the preseason. And that's the one question we have an answer to. There were a lot of other smaller questions that I think now have become bigger questions since that has been solved. And those are no closer to resolution. But Aldama has been a positive. Another positive that I've paid attention to, as you guys know, I'm monitoring closely Dylan Brooks. And he tied John Morant with assists for tonight. So I want to give him some credit for that. He could have had more, probably some shots that just didn't go down. Nobody could shoot tonight. I'm sure John would have had a whole lot more assists as well had people been able to shoot tonight. But I saw some good passes from him. Outside of that, he went tunnel vision at one point in the preseason. I want to say it was the second game the first game against Orlando Magic. He did sort of have this, tunnel vision kind of warp speed moment, but outside of that, you can see he's been intentional. I think DeMichael Cole got a quote from him basically saying he wanted to average about, I think it was either 3 or 4 assists or 4 or 5 assists, something like that. He wanted to average close to 4 assists this season, which I thought was interesting, but that seems to be the case, and it's always positive to see Dylan Brooks leading the team in assists.
Man, I did want to mention this before I forgot, man. And how about Desmond Bane? Like, he did this a lot last year, but the way he's changing ends, man, when he gets downhill going toward the basket, man, good luck in stopping him. I mean, he's like a blur out there when he tucks the ball like a running back, man, gets to the hole, man. So I noticed that several times tonight. When he gets the ball, man, he's going to the basket with full force. And I think that's another element to this offense that they need, another way that they can score outside of him knocking down shots, man. Him get to the basket, because I mean, he doesn't even give time to defense time to set. It's hard to stop. Usually he's going to score or he's going to get fouled when he does that. So I just want to give shout out to that, because it's like he's even improved. We saw it times last year, but it's like he's even faster this year.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
I think they underestimate his speed too. Mm-hmm. It was one of the Wagners. I don't know if it was Mo.
He gets that goal.
Like that's it's a weird matchup if it was Mo, but I think it was Franz. Bane got the ball. And he was just flat footed, and Bane blew right past him straight to the basket. Just, he thought that Bane was going to shoot, so he was getting ready to contest the shot, and Bane just goes straight to the bucket for an easy layup. And he can really move, and that's, coming out of the draft, you get the tag of, he's a shooter.
He's just a shooter, yeah.
And I that's why I don't know that we see a leap from him in the size that we saw last season. But him getting to that, all-star type player this year is not out of the question to me. He's got all the tools. He can obviously shoot the ball, but his ability to break people down off the dribble is fantastic. And I think that's an underrated part of his game. And he's got good vision too. He only had one assist tonight in the game against the Magic, but there are plenty of times when he gets downhill and he makes the right pass, he finds the right guy. And so, you know, that's gives you your backcourt of Ja Morant, Desmond Bane. I would put them up against any backcourt in the league right now, because, you know, like you can have a conversation, you know, I can't think of any off the top of my head that I would pick over those two.
The Jontae Murray.
Jontae Murray, Trae Young. That's the one that most people bring up. Yeah,
right.
When you say that.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's really solid as well. And that's, you know, you can't have a top backcourt in the league conversation and not include these two guys. You just can't do it. So I got another question for you. We were kind of talking about rotation stuff. Let's say Jaren is back. Jenkins stays with a 10-man rotation. We can pretty well assume that X is going to be one of the men that was in the rotation tonight that is out. Who's next? Is it Roddy or Laravia? Who has done enough in this preseason, like through the summer league and the preseason games? Who has done enough for you that you say this is for sure going to be the 10th man in this rotation?
I agree with Isaac. I don't think either one of the rookies get in with the 10-man role, because tonight they play 11 guys. So I don't think either one of these guys, I think it's Aldama. I think he becomes that guy, and you don't really see Laravia or Roddy unless it's injury. And that's probably, you know, how you'd want it.
You think X stays in the rotation then? Because you got 11 guys. Jaren comes back, makes 12. You're dumping two.
I think the season will progress. I like what Isaac said earlier in terms of right now they like Laravia. They want him to be that guy.
Yeah.
I have a question about if it ultimately will be him. I think it's a very strong possibility that Roddy will outperform him when it's all said and done. By the time we get that far down the season, just because Roddy seems to flow better with the offense, he seems to be more comfortable with the offense. He seems to be a little bit more comfortable making shots off. You know, Laravia needs to be exactly square to the basket in order to really be able to make the shot. If he's square to the basket, it's money. But most of the cases, because it's the NBA, he's not. And so Roddy, I think, will have a better chance. He'll be hot and cold. I agree, or inconsistent. But I think with all the other things he adds, his physicality, he seems to have a little bit more of a dog kind of mentality to him. And he might end up shoving out Laravia.
Well, it should be Kendrick Lopez Jr., but we know that's not going to happen. But between those two guys, I don't think in the preseason and summer league, either one of them have done anything to kind of separate themselves from the others. Roddy has had some really nice games. Laravia has had some nice games. He had a nice game in that preseason opener against Milwaukee. But I think even projecting forward, I just think Roddy, even to me, just looking at him and projecting forward, I think Roddy projects as the better player. That's just kind of my opinion right now. And I just think I agree with Candace. I think if it plays out, I think it's probably going to bear itself out. It's at least this year that Roddy is probably more suited to compete for you and be productive right now. That's kind of how I feel about it. So if I had to pick one of those guys, I think they're going to push Laravia because they moved up to get him and kind of I've laid out kind of about those two trades and how that happened. So I think it's kind of some politics in the work there. It seems like they're pushing Laravia, but I really do think Roddy, of those two right now, I would pick to be that guy.
Okay. So what happened for you? Because I know, like, when we were doing the draft stuff, Roddy was like, Laravia was one of your 10 guys that you wouldn't mind seeing on this Grizzlies team. And there, you know, we've talked about that. Like, there were guys ahead of him. And now you're thinking, like, you like Roddy over Laravia right now. What happened that made you kind of shift gears there? Because while Laravia is not really knocking down the shots like we would like to see him doing, he has been disruptive on the defensive end of the floor.
Well, for me, when even discussing those 10 guys that I like I said, Laravia, I had 10 guys that I like, but agrees that those two spots there late in the first round, even if they had got my number one guy, which I can't remember who that was right now.
Somebody that wasn't going to be there. We're at their
I think
picks.
It was Jalen Williams. Yeah, I think it was Jalen Williams. I think Jalen Williams was number one. I wasn't expecting them to have to lean on any of these guys. Like, I would expect them to have to play. At that point, I wasn't thinking, okay, they're going to lose both Kyle and DeAnthony Melton, and you're going to have a rookie playing. So, I mean, that kind of changed everything for me once they moved up to get LaRavia and kind of made the second move DeAnthony Melton, come back in and get David Roddy. And from what I've seen, I just feel like David Roddy is more ready to compete right now. I think LaRavia, the thing that I like about him was more so not being disruptive on the defensive end, but the fact that he could knock down shots. I thought that was going to be the case, and if they drafted him, that was going to be the deal. And we haven't seen that so far. I mean, it's not that he can't do it, and this is super early. We're talking preseason, summer league, but he just hasn't shown that ability. If he's not knocking down shots, I don't know. I mean, like I said, there's been times where he's been disrupted, but I feel like Roddy overall gives you more right now. As far as, I think, the same shooting ability, I think I trust Roddy just as much as I trust LaRavia to knock down a three-pointer right now. And I feel like Roddy's size, I think he has a little bit more playmaking ability. I just feel like he's more ready to compete on an NBA level right now. I even projecting forward, I'm just intrigued by Roddy. Talked about that before, about his size and his potential skill set. You just don't see a lot of guys with that. So I just think he's more intriguing. LaRavia, I got some questions about him right now. I'm not feeling good about him projected long term. Again, I know this is super early and preseason, and we have no idea what these guys are going to be, but I do have some concerns there. He was on my list, but I haven't been impressed by what I've seen from him so far. I'll say that.
So, Candace, I'm going to throw this one to you first. Last year, we saw this team. We saw the coaching staff. They were all in on Zaire. Early in the season, he was one of the worst, if not the worst, rotational player in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
He had the injury, comes back, and he looks like a completely different player, ends up playing really good, like earning playoff rotation minutes. Do you feel like we're going to see that from one of these guys? Do you think that they're going to do that with LaRavia because of where they drafted him? Or do you think that because they drafted LaRavia and Roddy so close together, that the leash is going to be shorter?
I think the leash will be shorter because they do seem to be pushing LaRavia. He seems to be getting a little bit more minutes. Roddy also seems to be, I think they would have liked to kind of disclude him for the rotation, generally speaking, but that hasn't been the case. Roddy hadn't let that be the case to this point. I also see him being able to progress a little bit more, and that's maybe just because I've seen him progress already. So in terms of from his first summer league game to now, he looks night and day. I mean, it was flipped after the Utah summer league. Everybody was saying Roddy doesn't look comfortable. He doesn't look like, you know, he doesn't look like he really knows his place. And it was LaRavia who looked great originally, especially that first game. It's completely switched. And Roddy's really been the one to continue on and build on that progression. If there's going to be somebody who's going to hedge it out with them being drafted so close at the end of the day, I think they're going to go best player, because especially if you're talking about as the season progresses, it's going to get closer to playoff time. Jaren's going to be integrated back. They're going to want to get serious about making a playoff push, and their schedule gets more difficult as the season progresses as well. And that's a big factor. So I think whoever plays better when Jaren's injured is probably going to get those minutes.
Yeah. I mean, this is the team that's trying to win. So you can't be messing around with politics and stuff like that. Whoever is the better player, eventually that's going to be the guy that needs to win out. You can't be playing a guy just because you feel like, oh, well, we gave up two picks to get him. We moved up, so we're just going to stick with him. Especially when you talk about they're still in such close proximity. Not like one of these guys is a first-round pick. The other one is a second-round pick. So I project right now that Roddy probably ends up being that guy. But I think, as we've seen here early, I think they're going to give LaRavia every opportunity to try to win that spot. I'm with Candace. I think they would have preferred for Roddy to kind of separate himself on the negative end from LaRavia, kind of him to be that hustle guy that they send down. But that hasn't been the case. They haven't separated themselves. So we'll see how it plays out. But I think they're going to give LaRavia a shot early. But I think by the end of the year, we could see that last spot kind of be David Roddy.
And I think there is some precedent to this. They didn't insert Killian Tilly and Aldama just because. Now, Zaire, they traded up to get him, but I also feel like towards the end, he began to earn those minutes. So I know in the beginning, they sort of wanted to get some run. I think they'll do the same thing here. Sometimes we'll see a rookie when maybe we should be seeing a rookie. But I think at the end, it's about who earns it. And I think they focus on competition too much for it to be anything else.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. I also wonder if there's any chance that either of these guys surpass John Conchar whenever it comes to rotation minutes.
Yes.
You know,
the answer is yes.
Something. You know, I think long term, obviously that would be the goal, but does it happen this season?
Probably.
Probably.
It's not a high bar, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's not really a high bar.
It's not a high bar, man.
Because I love Jenny. Like, I'm not jumping on Jenny at all, but I think Jenny is what he's been. I don't think he's any more than what we've seen, a spot player that can come in and when you need him to, he can be productive for you, but not a guy that you need to be dependent on night in and night out to have a specific role. I don't think he's that guy. I mean, and it's not a shot against him. I just consistently, I don't think he's going to be able to give you what you need him to give you. That's what I'll say. That and for them to have gotten rid of De'Anthony Melton and kind of him be a little bit of his replacement, I just don't think you're going to get that from him on a night in, night out basis. There are going to be times where he looks good. I mean, we've seen games where he comes in, knocks down all these threes, gets these rebounds, and like, oh, Jitty, man, Jitty could have a bigger role. And then the next night, he comes in and doesn't do that. So I think that's what you're going to see from him. I think it's going to be ebbs and flows with him.
Yeah, so inconsistent. Maybe not in the manner that we saw from Melton, but definitely some inconsistencies from him. Guys, I think we'll wrap it up. I don't know how long we've been going, but it feels like we've been going for a minute here. The Grizzlies are now 2-2 on the preseason. I'm still planning the parade on Beal. I'm still showing confidence in this team, even after they lost to the Miami Heat's bench squad, Jimmy Neutron, and the Neutrets, I guess we'll go with. I don't even know.
Yeah, by Highsmith out there killing them, man.
Yeah, you know, somebody had to score the ball, and Duncan Robinson was that guy for the Miami Heat that night. It seemed like he couldn't miss, and then when he went off the floor, like, Nikola Jovic was struggling at times. And then when Robinson went to the bench, it seemed like in the fourth quarter there that Nikola Jovic just found a stretch where he was hitting everything. So,
yeah, man, he's going to be good, man. That's my guy. I hate him, man. I would love to have seen him here, man.
Same. Yep. That's the length, the size.
Playmaking.
We knew that he was going to be able to score. We knew that he was going to be a playmaker. The question is, and will be until he proves it wrong, is what's he going to provide defensively? And with that length, all it's about is effort, man. You know, if he puts effort in on the defensive end, 6'10", plus wingspan, all he's got to do is give effort, and he can be serviceable out there. But we'll wrap it up again. 2-2 on the regular season. Final score of tonight's game, 109-105. Orlando Magic defeat the Memphis Grizzlies. We will be back Thursday or Friday with a post game. We'll see how it goes. We appreciate you guys tuning in. You can get the show on Twitter at Ethos Grizzlies. I am at NBA D-Will 21.
Yep. You can find me on Twitter at CandiceH901. CandiceH901. Take us home, Isaac.
Yeah, man. Grizzlies will be back on the floor. Their final preseason finale up in the Motor City, taking on the Detroit Pistons. Gonna be interesting. Hopefully they play some of their guys, man. I like to see Jaden Ivey, Jalen Duren obviously has a lot of local interest here. I mean, they add a lot of pieces, man. Bojan Bogdanovic, they add to that team. That's gonna be definitely a league pass team to watch this year, man. I'm gonna be interested to see that team. I think they're gonna be fun to watch, but hopefully the Grizzlies go up there and get a win, and be interested to see if they play the starters again and kind of some of the things that we were talking about here during the program. But you can get me on Twitter at Isaac_NBA and ISAAC_NBA. And David said we'll be back Thursday or Friday with a post game. So go to Eddie. So Grizzlies, give us a like and a follow. We appreciate that. And until next time, we go.
And that will conclude our Sports Ethos presentation.